the biggest factor to me. Feet on the ground in that neighborhood, on the property. It's just that gut feel, right? You're really going to know, do you feel safe there? Would you live there? Not saying that's like your goal place. That's not like your dream place to live, but if you had to, would you live there?
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everybody? You know the drill. Every Monday, we're coming at you with all things multifamily real estate investing. Sometimes I bring on guests that are successful in the business, interview them, find out their secrets, tips, and strategies to how they built their own real estate empire. And then also have solo shows where I share my successes, my failures, the hurdles I'm getting over, the triumphs I've had, and just generally what I've learned along the way, sharing any tips, tricks, and strategies that we use at Greenbrier Capital Group to grow our portfolio. And that's what the show is today. That's one of those days. Solo show. I want to talk about how we pick markets as a whole, not how we generally pick it, because I've had a show about that, talking about demographics and what we look for, but kind of what has steered us to look at those markets as a whole, right? And then I want to get into, once you're there, kind of looking at the neighborhood. This is specifically two strategies that we use. So I'm not going to get into a lot of detail. It's not every metric or factor that we look at when it comes to selecting a certain market and then neighborhood. It's just two tricks that we use that tried and true and seem to work for us time and time again. So I just want to get right into it. So first, when we're looking at a market we want to go into, so think of maybe a state or a major city, we want to look at, obviously the major thing is net migration, right? We don't want to go into a place where more people are leaving than moving in, right? We want to go into a place where more people are moving in. So it's a net positive migration. Obviously other factors, that obviously takes care of the population growth factor, but obviously factors is household income growth we want to see, job growth we want to see, home value growth we want to see. We want to see crime rate below a certain level and trending downward. Those are all important factors amongst all. But how do you track, how can you see net positive net migration? Obviously, most people would probably say, Sean, you can just look at census data, which is true. Census data will show you where the population is at, but that generally lags. So let's look at, I'm just going to say Charlotte, North Carolina population. I'm going to Google it. All right. So it has recently been updated. So we're 2021, but we're about to go into 2023, right? And there's times in the year when it can lag nearly 2 years, right? So that's not like great information, right? Because there's a whole year plus that's gone by since when this data has been collected. So what is something we use to really see? Obviously, we'll look at this number, we take into account because it is a concrete number via census, but we want to see the trends while they're happening, not necessarily 1 to 2 years lagging. We've missed the trend at that point, right? So what do we look at? Well, we actually look at U-Haul. And you might ask, well, what do you mean you look at U-Haul? Well, we look at their quarterly and annual reports. There's also websites. If you just Google U-Haul net migration, U-Haul state migration, you can U-Haul reports on their quarterly and annual reports, and also on other resources they put out, where their trucks are going, because they track all their trucks, right? They have GPS on all the trucks. They know where their trucks are going, amongst other things. They know where they're at pretty much at all times. So what we like to look at is, so where are these trucks going, right? A lot of them are leaving from the same place, which is, now we know, a place we might not want to go. Like the Californias and Yorks have seen a lot of people move out, right? But where are they going? Where do they end up? Because that's where most people are moving. And so they list it out. If you want to look at this, I'm just going to read some facts here for you. Indiana, Colorado, Maine, Idaho, and New Mexico round up the top 10 growth states of 2021 as self-movers target the Southeast, Southwest, and Rocky Mountain regions as their destination of choice. So the top, though, that was 6 through 10. But the top is Texas, number 1, Florida, number 2, Tennessee, number 3, South Carolina, number 4, Arizona, number 5, and Indiana. Well, I already led it, but Indiana's number 6. And then I said Colorado, Maine, Idaho, New Mexico to round out the top 10. And so we look at these trends, right? South Carolina is one of our markets, and that's great to see they're in the top 4. Obviously, we know Texas and Florida are huge. People are moving there all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Tennessee was number 1 last year, now number 3. And all the top three were in the top three last year. It's just juggled the order. Texas was two, now one. Florida was three, now two. And Tennessee was one, now three. South Carolina's made a huge jump, though, from 15 up to four. And Indiana, too, from 12 to six. Arizona stayed at the same place in number five. So it's interesting to take a look at this because it's net migration, right? So we want to know where net positive migration, we want to know where the people are moving, where they are moving to. And the U-Haul vice president of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex has said this. We see a lot of growth coming from the East and West Coast, a lot of people moving here from California and New York. We also see a lot of people coming in from Chicago markets. I think that's a lot due to the job growth, a lot of opportunity here. The cost of living here is much lower than those areas. Texas is open for business. And then some of this data is lagging too, in the sense of, I shouldn't say lagging, but this segment here is taking a look at previous years. So let me correct. It's not lagging. It's way more present than what you get from a census. But anyway, select Northeast markets showed year-over-year migration recoveries as Maine rose 21 spots, Vermont 14, Connecticut 25 in the U-Haul growth index. Yet three of the six states with the largest net losses were also in the Northeast, and that's New York, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania. So it's really good to also see where a negative net migration. So that's also an important factor. All right, on to the next topic. So U-Haul data is great to look at to see where people are going. But now you've already selected your market, you already selected your city. Now you're trying to see, is this a good neighborhood to invest in, right? And obviously, there's a lot of factors you're going to look at there. Average home value, median household income, crime index, right? Is what's crime look like? And then obviously, the biggest factor to me, feet on the ground in that neighborhood, on the property, it's just that gut feel, right? You're really going to know, do you feel safe there? Would you live there? Not saying that's like your goal place. That's not like your dream place to live. But if you had to, would you live there? You know that feeling when you walk on property. But one factor that we look at is something we call the Chick-fil-A tracker. And yes, it has to do with Chick-fil-A. So we like to see if there's a said property that we have a prospect we're looking at. We want to see, and that's not always the case, but we want to see, obviously it's in markets where there, Chick-fil-A is prevalent, correct, right? We like to see a Chick-fil-A in 1 to 3 miles, in a 1 to 3 mile radius of the property. You might ask, why do you care about Chick-fil-A? Yeah, it is good, but why is that such a big reason, right? Why do you have a quote-unquote Chick-fil-A tracker? Well, Chick-fil-A is the most successful franchise in the United States from a net profit per store. And there's obviously a reason for that. I won't get into all the factors. One of them is because they know real estate, they know business, especially the retail restaurant business, location, location, location. They know that's a very important factor. They want to optimize traffic that comes through an area. They want it to be in a safe area. And so they have a team of, if you want to call them analysts or research team, they have a team that their job is to do the research to see where they should open the next store. They get presented with the option in a market to open a store. One, if they should open that market. Two, where in that market. So instead of Sean and Greenbrier having a whole research team, a whole team of analysts to do that type of work, why not just use Chick-fil-A's resources? So again, we look for a property to have a Chick-fil-A in a 1 to 3 mile radius. Obviously, it doesn't hit, depends on certain markets. Some markets don't have a lot of Chick-fil-A's or any Chick-fil-A's at all, but the majority of the markets we do in the Southeast do. And so, for instance, before I hopped on the show, I wanted to look. I looked at one of our properties in Georgia, and it's 0.7 miles. And the reason why I wanted to look at this property is because it has the most foot traffic of any of our properties. Right now, this historically, and from a seasonality perspective, right around the holidays, usually traffic dies down, right? Especially in today's market, we've seen traffic die down from a leasing perspective I'm talking about, right? During the holidays, people usually don't want to move unless you have to, right? So you're not really looking for an apartment at the time. Traffic drops down. Also, rental rates sometimes drop down because if you're trying to fill your place and you're not getting a lot of traffic, you might want to entice them with a lower rate or a concession. Well, this property, we don't have to do any of that. We're still getting multiple people a day hitting up this property. Last week, we had over 15 leads. This week, we're tracking, I think, to even go over that. We have 10 new leases for January that were signed in the last week, week and a half. This property has a lot of traffic. And so I was curious, like, we obviously looked at this beforehand with Chick-fil-A, but I wanted to see, and it's actually has our closest Chick-fil-A, right? So this property is the closest to Chick-fil-A than any of our other properties. It's 0.7 miles, 3 minute drive, 14 minute walk. Now, I'm not saying that's the end all be all, but historically speaking, for us, it's been a very positive factor. And I think that's one of the reasons that they do their research. They know where to put their stores where they can optimize traffic in that location. So I just wanted to get on here and give you kind of two little tricks and strategies we use when evaluating a market as a whole, and also a micro perspective, the neighborhood itself. Kind of just out of the box thinking that does have some backing to it from our experience. And I've even asked others that have, tell me about your best property right now with traffic, right? And I've had them, and then I look up the address and look at it. And I think every time it has been, there's been a Chick-fil-A that's really close by. One of those things, guys. But that's what I'm here, share these strategies that we use that are tried and true in our experience, hopefully help you out. All right, everybody. As always, if you got value from this, please share it with someone that you think could get value as well. That's how we grow the show. Another way we grow the show is by you leaving a rating and review. So if you haven't done so, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please get on there and do that. That's another way how we get in front of more eyes and ears out there. All right, everybody. As always, thanks for tuning in. And as you know, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you, so we can all create the lives of our dreams and thereby have more resources, more time, make this world a better place. All right, everybody. If I don't hear from you, have a great holiday season. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Whatever you celebrate, happy holidays. And I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review, and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.